CliffCentral.com.
Ella Henderson with Glow. Ella Henderson.
That sounds to me like it should have been a Coldplay song. It's got a Coldplay sound to it.
Maybe if we look into the credits, we'll find that it was written by Chris Martin.
Yeah.
It was one of the ones rejected by Gwyneth when they were still together. He's resuscitated and given it to Ella Henderson. All right, everybody. We need to get into some news. Let's see what's happening in the world. Let's fill you in. Let's update you. Let's get your day off to the right start.
Okay, well, let me begin with the news that broke yesterday that AKA's manager has decided to lay charges against Black Coffee, right? This is after Black Coffee slapped him at the IROC festival, which took place in Limpopo over the weekend. Now, the reason I mention this is because I saw very quickly people responding on social media by saying that, oh no, this guy's a pussy. For laying charges.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand that. I mean, if somebody assaulted you,
well,
would you just take it, or what would you do?
See, there is that, Mubs, and I get that because human rights and all that kind of stuff. But what happens to just men being men? Eventually someone gets clapped and you move on with life. The guy's not paralyzed.
Okay.
He's not black and blue.
No, but apparently the reason
he fell on the floor.
Apparently the reason that, and this is what I read from some gossip website. I can't help myself sometimes, okay? Don't judge me.
No, it's addictive.
They said that the reason that that Black Coffee slapped the guy was because he said something about his one hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he just showed it to him.
Which means you deserve it.
That's childish.
Yeah, because, you know, Black Coffee's only got the one arm. And despite that, he has made himself a tremendous success all over the world. He's hanging with P. Diddy. He was in here the other day. He's such a gentleman. He's such a good guy. That's why everybody was a little bit shocked that he was the guy who hit someone. But it must have been something that really pissed him off.
I think also overall, for the most part, I think more people love Black Coffee than, say, those who like AKA.
Oh, it's true.
So, you know.
Everybody's saying, well, just like Hillary won the debate against Donald, everyone's saying, well, Black Coffee's way more popular than AKA.
He's more likable than AKA.
Way
right?
more popular.
So people were kind of like, yes, Black Coffee, go!
Flax, you got people in the AKA camp. What's the word on the street?
As far as I'm aware, it had to do with the fact that AKA was running late to the concert. Then his people started, like, unplugging Black Coffee's stuff during his live set, and Black Coffee was having none of that.
No.
And I think, so Black Coffee might have acted out in a fit of rage, but he did apologize, and he did the right thing. Because that, I think the next day, he was playing at a nightclub called Kong, and during his set, he turned down the music, and he said a formal apology, should not have done that, and then he started playing Mandoza's song.
Oh, wow, okay. Huh.
Okay, so you know, Ben's stance here is what happened to men just being men, which, you know, a lot of people were saying now to this guy, to Black Coffee's, to AKA's manager, they're now calling him a pussy because he's decided to lay charges. You know, I'm just like, but guys, I mean, he's well within his rights to lay charges, so he chose to. Like, this is what consequences are about, right?
Sure.
So,
but again, like,
I don't think that makes him a pussy.
But then, if he did make a comment about his hand,
well, that
then he deserves a clap.
Then
okay?
He'll come out in court.
But then, as he said, and it's this long drawn out thing. Yeah. It's a waste of everybody's time.
You know what?
Yes.
Sometimes I hate to say this because I'm not a violent guy, and I've never been in a fight. Mm. But I do believe that sometimes you've got to just let men resolve things by beating each other up.
Completely. We are very simple animals.
Seriously.
Seriously, we are such simple animals. If you don't believe me, look at sales and shopping malls. We don't need court structures. Seriously, we are impulsive.
Monsters.
We are primal at best.
Yeah.
Someone got a clap. Let's move on.
Okay, Ben.
Okay, you know what? Maybe buy him a new hat because his hat fell on the floor.
Yes, but what about what about ego here? This is the other thing we're forgetting.
So
obviously this guy's ego now was dented, right? And he's trying to fight back in his own way.
Yeah, but even if he wins, people, because what's going to happen in court is it's going to be a he said thing. You know it's going to go badly for this guy.
I think he should be grateful that Black Coffee actually hit him, because no one knew who the hell he was until he got hit by Black Coffee.
Good point.
I wouldn't mind Black Coffee coming to hit me quick.
Right. There we go. Good point, Flax.
Oh, boy.
But still, do we really have to coddle ourselves, coddle each other, revert to the courts every time anything happens? It seems like the default setting, like the other default setting, is to protest. If people can't protest, what do they do in South Africa? They go to court.
Or break stuff.
Yeah, but the court is there for precisely that purpose.
But this is a minor dispute that was filmed. We can all see what happened.
Yeah. I think this guy's ego is bruised, and that's why he's doing this.
Sure, but I mean...
I wouldn't even be surprised if AKA was the one who talked him into laying charges.
No, I'd rather the court be there so that Bob Hewitt stays in prison. You know, not so much this guy who took a bit of a clap because he might have been being a doce.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well, you know what? Maybe there's an ego court. There we go. Put it on the DSTV channel, ego court. You hurt my ego. Okay. All right. I find your guilty ego. There we go. $10,000
The presiding judge of
Donald
ego
Trump.
Court.
Donald Trump's the king of ego. He should be the presiding officer.
No, just make Espresso do it after their show in the morning. Espresso is 6 until 9, whatever, on SABC. Then they could be the ego court.
Oh, you get those presenters, all those smiley presenters. They could do it. All right, what else is going on?
Well, an Alabama lawmaker...
Alabama?
...who was decidedly unhappy with Hillary Clinton's allegations that Donald Trump is a sexist, because you remember that's part of what Hillary said yesterday when we were listening to some of those clips to come out of the presidential debate. This guy, Ed Henry, decided that he was not happy with Hillary Clinton calling Trump a sexist. And so what he decided to do was to go onto Twitter and to post that, well, Bill Clinton is likely a rapist. What is wrong?
What an ego bruising that would be.
People are stupid. I don't even... anyway.
But to your point, if more guys got a clap every now and again, there'd be less of this petty shit, I reckon.
Okay.
Well, this is one of Trevor Noah's funny comments. He says, apparently, Hillary put Mark Cuban in the front row at the last Donald Trump press conference or whatever. And Mark Cuban's a real billionaire, so it would have bothered Donald.
Oh,
so then Donald threatened to put, and this is the truth, this is not made up, Donald threatened to put one of Bill Clinton's mistresses in the front row at Hillary. Now, that's low, right?
Oh, my gosh.
At Hillary's conference. So then Hillary...
These are overgrown children.
So then, eventually, the two of them are on the stage, and they see... Donald is like, oh, my God, Hillary, that's so low of you. And she goes, what? And he goes, you've put Bill between... Melania and Ivanka, how could you do that to the two women I love? And she goes, that wasn't me, I thought that was you. And he goes, it wasn't me, I thought it was you. And Bill goes, oh, it was me, it was my idea. Oh, that's funny. Bill Clinton.
So this Ed Henry guy, he goes onto Twitter and he says, it is ironic that lying Hillary, it is ironic that lying Hillary blast Trump as
and
a
then, of course, we have crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary.
All right.
Lying Hillary put on blast that Trump is a sexist when she is married to Bill, who is likely a rapist.
Yeah, but how does that affect her being a bad person? It doesn't make her a bad person. Even if Bill, and I don't recall Bill Clinton ever being accused of rape, do you?
He was, apparently, Gareth. Back in 1978, the former president was accused of rape by Juanita Broderick while running for governor of Arkansas.
You think that the whole time that he was president, someone didn't go and dig around there to try and check whether that was true?
He adamantly denied the charges.
Remember Ken Starr? He would do anything to get Bill Clinton impeached. He would have dug around that trough all he could. There must have been no evidence whatsoever of this. Anyway, even if Bill is a rapist, let's imagine that. Worst thing possible, right? Bill Clinton is the kind of guy who rapes women. Let's just imagine that for a second. Still, not Hillary's problem. Doesn't make Hillary a bad person.
Yeah, I mean, Hillary wasn't baiting the woman.
No. Not like Bill Cosby's wife, who was actively involved in his shenanigans.
Was she?
Well, she was downstairs.
I thought she just pretended like none of it was happening. Was she actively involved?
Please. It's like Joseph Fritzl's wife. But it doesn't mean that they're complicit, obviously. I'm not suggesting that. And the same goes for Hillary. She's not complicit. So I don't understand. People are so weird. Here's the point, right? if you believe something, then you make the facts figure into your belief.
Mm.
If you believe something else, you have different facts. People just can't see how the same situation. Look at the situation with Black Coffee and whoever AK is. I still don't know the guy's name, so it clearly hasn't worked in terms of a publicity exercise.
Tiamo is his name.
Whatever. Anyway, so the two of them, they're in this fracas. Ooh. We see it from whichever point of view we want to see it from.
This is true.
AKA and his people, they see it a certain way. Black Coffee's fans see it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's like that with anything in life.
Right. I see there's this new Tropica island of whatever it is.
Island of treasure.
Island of celebrity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Treasure.
And they've got Minnie Dlamini. They've got Caroline van Jaarsveld. Sivan Gezi. Do you know who else is on the show?
Let's look it up. Because I think Minnie is the presenter of the show.
Oh, is she the presenter? All right.
And then what happens is they get a bunch of celebrities and then they pair them with...
Wasn't Riva on that show?
Riva Steenkamp was on the show.
So who do you think will be murdered from this season?
I don't know that they will go with that same script storyline for this season.
So you mean they might have a different script?
Maybe.
Maybe instead of murder, they'll have an illegitimate child by one of the other contestants.
Kat was on that show.
She was?
Who produces for Aria Kelman.
She was on the show?
She was a contestant on the show.
Wow.
Because what happens is they have celebrities, and then they have what they, I suppose, people who are not celebrities, so...
Yeah, ordinary people.
And then they... I don't know if they get paired with a celebrity or not, but then they all compete to win this thing.
Wait, I want to see who else is on. I might actually watch this show. Because I'll tell you something, that Minnie Dlamini is hot as can be.
Jesus.
My
that your
holy.
Did you see that picture?
Yeah,
that
follow her on Instagram.
My
yes,
word.
Yes, Maria Kotsvondovich.
Her body is insane right now. It is like the closest thing to perfection, if not perfection, in my mind.
Tropica Island of Treasure. What episode, what season are we in here?
Oh, no. I can't tell you that. I don't know.
Does anybody know? 8th of July, 2016. Here's the trailer. Let's take a look. Let's see what's going on here. It's Tropic Island Treasure. Tell you what, this looks
like... Now, nine of South Africa's hottest celebrities have been selected and are calling consumers to enter to be on Tropic Island.
Who's this chick? She's on Espresso or something. They shouldn't put her on that show. I don't want to see her in a bikini.
Island of Treasure Season 7. Now, the show's host is Minnie Dlamini, and the games master is Jonathan Boynton-Lee.
Oh, okay, so it's a whole top billing-esque thing.
Celebrity contestants include Sivan Gezi, Zakia Mittal, Maurice Page, Caroline van Jaarsveld, MT, Anga Makubalo, and Jessica Nkosi.
Okay, MT's in it as well, Jessica Nkosi. All right, cool. That's some hot
seven
people.
Of the celebrity contestants will each be paired with a Tropica consumer to form seven smooth teams to participate in the competition.
Ugh, imagine you're, hi, I'm the Tropica consumer.
Yeah,
that's
weird
not embarrassing
title,
at all. Hi, I'm Caroline van Jaarsveld. Oh, cool. Who are you? I'm a Tropica consumer.
Yeah,
I consume so much. I have a Tropica trough at home.
But how else are Tropica going to work their brand name in there?
Yes, it's the ad agencies are working overtime on this one. All right, come on.
Seychelles. Each team will strive to outdo one another and win the ultimate prize of 1 million rand grand prize. Now, are you ready to join the celebrities?
That's not a bad prize. Now, what if the celebrities win that? Do they get to keep it as well? They must be being paid to be on the show. They wouldn't do it for nothing.
The celebrities?
Yeah. Minnie's being paid. She's the host.
Yeah, well, she's working, so she has to get paid.
Okay. And become a TV star, all you have to do is purchase a Tropica and follow the instructions on the pack. Go on to tropica.co.
Yeah, all right. Jesus.
Oh, my trunk.
It's the longest infomercial I've ever heard in my life. But I suppose if they're going to put together a good selection of... Are these girls all in bikinis all the time?
They have to be. They're at the beach.
Yeah, they're in the Seychelles.
Excellent. I think I'll watch. What the hell? Have you ever watched this show?
I watched the one season because a friend of mine was on it, and I think that was the season that DJ Fresh was well, I don't know if he was there. He was the what do they call them? The game master, whatever.
All right.
And, I watched that one season. Yes, that was the season that Kat was on, actually, with Riva and them.
So you're saying that you're friends with Kat?
Yeah, well, we work together, Ben.
Be nice, Mubs. She's a nice girl. There's nothing wrong with Kat. Don't be horrible. I sometimes have to help my buddy pull her claws back into her paws. She sometimes get caught.
Yeah.
All right, here are a couple of messages from people. Sounds like the GCS has taken over the celebrity scene after Heat magazine went bust. Heat went bust for a reason. Celebrities are boring. Yeah, all right, Ramon. Yeah, I'd prefer if you didn't lecture me on how to do my show.
Thank you very much.
Tanya says, cost me $20K for a charge that was thrown out. Should have slapped that bitch harder.
Huh? What?
Well, Tanya obviously got into a fight and then they went to court. Mike Hunt says, it's the best name. Mike Hunt wants to know all about Stella Capital, but Anthea has already left the building, so we'll have to ask her tomorrow, but I will, Mike. And then Inati says, every morning there's a competition to get all the radio stations to trend on Twitter. When you tune in, they're just making noise. No content in their conversations. Luckily for me, there's the Gareth Cliff Show. Thanks, Inati. Yeah, I'm not interested in getting into a fight with the radio stations about who could trend on Twitter. Please. You want to trend on Twitter? What must I say? I'll get it to trend now. It's not hard. You could do that with one arm tied behind your back, both your ears covered, your eyes covered with a blindfold, and jumping on one leg, you could still get to trend on Twitter. It's not hard. Trending on Twitter is the easiest thing in the universe, and it's not an achievement. Temba says, Flax, you're a fame whore. You can respond to this, Flax. You're willing to be clapped for fame, but you're right. The guy must just celebrate Black Coffee's clap. He was a nobody before this. Flax, if you ever meet Justin Bieber, instead of being a regular groupie, pick a fight with him.
Okay, so first of all, it was a joke. Thank you, Temba. And I've actually given a lot of thought what would happen if I met, like, Justin Bieber, big-time celebrities.
You have. Jeez, you lie in bed every night thinking about it.
And this actually happened from an incident me and AKA had, where I actually helped AKA out. I think if I met like a big time celebrity and I did the same with AKA, we had a chat. I didn't even ask for a photo. We just
That's
had a chat.
Beautiful.
And if there was time at the end of the chat, then we would have a photo. But it was a glorious time. I helped AKA move his car. He was stuck. He needed to get to the airport. Managed to get him out, get to his plane on time, his concert on time. I don't think he'll remember it though.
All right, who wants to hear some clips from... that's very nice, Flax, thank you. Who wants to hear some clips from Claudie Motsoeneng?
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
While we're in, we might as well make a serious effort to understand the man. Here he is. This is Claudie, according to Claudie, at his press conference. Okay, you ready?
Everywhere where I go, people support Claudie. West in the rural area. Because, you know, I'm a rural boy. And I'm here in Gauteng to change the mindset of people, believing that if you come from rural, you can't achieve.
This guy's unreal.
I mean, he's playing to certain people's feelings when he says something like that, right? Like he's
because there are loads of people.
He's manipulating the situation here.
And I want to assure you, before you ask me questions, I'm going to apply for the job. It's a given. And I qualify to apply for that job. I was not produced by media. I was not produced by individuals. I have my own brain. I have my own vision. And I want to repeat, my future is in my hands. I want to repeat that. My future is in my hands. Because...
Why did they sit through this?
Oh, the journalists.
Yeah, why did they go... I mean, apart from it being entertainment, this is a big waste of everybody's time. It's a Claudie press conference about Claudie. He's not smart enough to impart anything that you need, that the country needs.
Even if I'm not at the SABC, who said...
I've got to admit, this is fascinating, though.
Not at the SABC, I can't contribute even better for South Africa. I can. I want to applaud people who recognize this wonderful person called Claudie.
He has no self-esteem issues there.
No,
he has all the confidence in the world.
I want to applaud these people who support this wonderful person called Claudie. It's you. Basic comprehension. He definitely didn't. I mean, this guy. He could not. Yo, I don't know. Unreal.
Dr. Ben Ngubane. Mm-hmm. Ellen Shabalala. Professor Maguve.
Yeah.
And all those board members. Because when I came here, there was no SABC. People who work here, they will tell you there was no SABC.
I worked there. I can tell you there was. I hate to contradict you, but I know it's only one man's statement, but it was actually working pretty much better before you came along. That I can vouch for.
Yeah, but it wasn't playing. When I came here.
Yeah.
See, because his vision is the best, Gareth.
There was just a disaster. But you know, the title. Previously, who was talking about the COO of the SABC? You didn't even know about this position, COO. You just know
that. It's like AKA's manager. We didn't know who he was until he got clapped.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing. If you're doing a job, that's fine. When you're doing really bad things, the press cares about you. Again, the delusions here.
Right.
COO, but you didn't know. Today, you are going to know about this corporate affairs. Because it is going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy that position.
Wow, what a guy, huh?
Of course you will.
Of course he'll enjoy it. He's enjoying the salary already. Guess who's paying for him? We are. How do you like them apples, huh?
And he's allowed to reapply.
Following the Supreme Court of Appeal's rejection of the board's appointment of Hlaudi Motsoeneng as Chief Operations Officer, the public broadcaster moves swiftly to announce what the future holds for him.
Mr. Motsoeneng is still our employee.
This is the guy who can't see and can't hear, by the way, Professor Mbulayeni Maguve. Mm-hmm. He's got one eye that works. Well, it's open, but he can't see through it. And then he...
Gareth, he can't help it. That's the way he
is. I'm telling you that he can't be the chairperson. There's lots of jobs that blind people and deaf people can do. Don't get me wrong. But you can't be the chairperson of a broadcasting business. It's like if I wanted to be a talk show host, but I had no mouth. Imagine. There's no way I could be a talk show host.
Well, he...
Like, I can't play football against Ronaldo if I'm in a wheelchair. It's just not possible.
Okay, well, in this instance, he can and he is. He is the chairperson.
We would... I mean, he would be...
Oh, boy. This is a professor? Are you sure? Is that really his title or is that one of those honorary things?
We would, I mean, he would be going back to the position he held, which is GE Corporate Affairs. That is the position he will be holding. And that is his previous position. He did well for this organization.
Really? Really, guys, how much are you in debt that you needed to be bailed out by government for? So how do you measure success? Huh? Why don't we go into that?
370 million rand loss in the last financial year.
But that's just it. Like, you get the impression that profit isn't the game here. The game here is to have a vision.
But there isn't one.
But that's Cloudy's thing. It's like, you didn't hear about the CEO previously because he was just making a business. I'm going to do more. I've got a vision.
Right, well, I can't hear any more of this. It's going to drive me crazy.
It's like the entitled child again. He doesn't have to be right. He just has to be him.
All right. Next. Ben, you've got some emails from our listeners.
All right. Yes, Gareth. I have an email here from a listener.
Oh, Ben. Okay. All right, Ben. Let's hear the email from a listener.
This is from Helen. Helen Pace.
Yeah.
Interesting. P-A-I-C-E.
Yeah. Do you want to give out an email address as well, Ben?
No, it's just that her name, because, like, the printing went a bit, like, soft on it. So, Helen, right? Hi, Gareth. I'm a huge fan of yours.
I'm definitely reading these from now on myself.
Hi, Gareth. I'm a huge fan of yours, your team, and what you're doing at Cliff Central. Your guests are fantastic most of the time. So nice to hear in-depth interviews that don't feel rushed like typical radio ones. My latest favorite interview you did was with Nkana Torre. What an interesting chap. So nice to hear from someone who is comfortable with themselves and their own history. In brackets, sad to hear he doesn't wash his hands after going to the loo, though. Thanks, Ben. Here is a thought I have had recently. I haven't thought this through properly, but Sorry, I haven't thought this
Jesus,
through.
I'm gonna give it to me.
You were making fun of Professor Maguve. Listen to this one.
This one, and he can see. Give me that paper.
Well, awesome. She hasn't thought this through particularly far, but it occurs to me, to her, that one should probably avoid voting for anyone with you in the surname, right? So, Putin, okay. Zuma, Bush, Trump, Jong-un, Mugabe, Hussein. Good point, Helen.
Okay, Helen.
Helen's got a really good point. Have a wonderful
Don't
week.
Don't vote for anyone with you in the surname.
Yeah.
Well, my lemma doesn't have a U, and my money doesn't have a U. So we're safe on those two. But there we go. If it's got a U in it,
avoid it.
If you don't like it, don't put a U in it. If you like it. Something like that.
George Bush Jr.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, well done, Helen.
Good thinking, Helen. She spotted the missing ingredient, the magic. All right, when we come back in a moment or two, we'll catch up with some other stories. We're going to speak to a guy who's at UJ, Pat Matlango, find out what's going on the campuses because it seems to have calmed down a little bit, but you never know. Also, Nando over in the U.S., we'll try and catch up with him about what's going on with Hillary and Trump post the debate. And then JR is our guest. What I'm talking about. Connor Maynard and Talking About. You like that? Well, do you, punk? Do you? Okay.
What will you do to us if we don't like it?
No, I don't mind. It's none of my business.
There'll be other songs.
Right. Okay. Flex says he's got a little update for us on what's going on in the university campuses. I bumped into a woman in the shops yesterday. You know, it's weird. People come up to you sometimes like they know you.
They feel like they know you.
Well, they do, because you're a celebrity, Gareth. I don't have that
And then
problem.
She starts saying things to me like, of course, you know, my daughter's studying architecture. And I felt like saying, no, I don't know that. But I just go, yeah. She says, well, she's at Wits, and she drove out of there the other day, and they threw things at her car, and blah, 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 and she's talking about how, you know, it's not as bad as everybody says it is, but it is, and I couldn't really figure out what was going on there. She's like, my other daughter, of course. I'm like, no, I don't. But I pretended I did. And she said she's going to study there next year, but she's very worried about what this means. And, you know, I spoke to a couple of people over the last few days about this, what's going on the university campuses. And people are worried because they don't know what this means for education long term. That's where I think people's main concern is. Is they're watching what's going on now, and they're going, okay, well, there's always been noise on campus. You know, I remember when I was at varsity, there was tear gas. There were a couple of protesters, riots. They turned over rubbish bins, that kind of thing. You know, there was stuff. It was SASCO, or it was the, you know, some other political party or whatever it was. But there's always something going on campus. I think for a lot of people, the biggest question is, where do we go from here? Because it does look like higher education is in a lot of trouble at the moment. And people are worried. They're worried if they've got kids that they're going to have to send them to varsity. I reckon it comes down to this. You're either going to have to be very rich and send your kids overseas to other universities, because our universities are so dysfunctional at the moment. Or you're going to have to be prepared to have your child go to a university where the degree won't be worth as much as it might have been. I think that's the only two options you've got, really. It's like what Zim has. Zimbabwe sends their best people here to study. They're going to have to send those people to, you know, Europe or America or wherever else.
Kenya.
Yeah, maybe Kenya.
Kenya's got the most universities in Africa.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Wow, what is the the population of South Africans that do make it to university? What is that total amount?
I don't know, 2-3%.
Okay, so then maybe we need to start focusing our priorities on better alternatives for the majority who won't get to make it to these institutions anyway.
We used to have technicons and special training colleges and all of that stuff, and maybe there are still some, but they're not as widespread as they should be. So maybe that's the point. Good idea, Mubs. We should be developing skills, perhaps, not just university degrees.
Maybe we should start teaching, you know, entrepreneurship as a subject in school already. High school, primary school.
Difficult one.
Yeah.
It's, to tell you, this entrepreneurship thing is not all it's cracked up to be.
We need alternatives.
Let's talk to Pat Matlangu. Is Pat on the line, Flex? Hey, Pat, how's it, man?
Not too bad yourself, Gareth.
Good. You're at UJ, right?
Yes, I'm at UJ.
All right. So how are things there on the campus?
What you've seen in the past 2 days is a common trend. So in the morning, things will start off normally, but just after lunch, that's when the mess starts.
So people get, what happens? They have, as soon as they've eaten lunch, then they start getting all protesty. What happens?
Yeah, it's just like after lunch, people get in protest mode. And in the past 2 days, I mean, the library gets closed after lunch. So what we see is like there'll be groups of students convening and they start a protest. Then the police will come and chase them out of campus and start firing shots and stuff like that.
How seriously should we take protesters who only start protesting after lunch?
I think they should be taken seriously because at the end of the day, they sort of disrupt the normal runnings of the university, you know. Oh. Classes stop, the library gets closed, no one can study, you know. So it's, yeah, they do have an impact, I won't lie.
How's this affecting you? Are you sympathetic to these protesters or are you actually annoyed by them?
I'm actually annoyed in a sense that I'm in the process of finishing off my master's dissertation. Mm-hmm. So I cannot access the library to get journals and stuff, you know?
Yes, it's making it harder for you to finish your degree.
Yes, and also there's a plenty of other postgraduate students that are badly affected by the whole situation because you can't also see your supervisor. And now it's like crunch time.
Pat, how do you feel about the whole Fees Must Fall movement? Has your feeling changed since last year when they started?
Not necessarily. You know, I guess they say in every revolution there needs to be pain. So I guess we're just paying the price now. But in the long run, it might yield positive results for everyone, ultimately. But I'm in full support of it. I mean, I for one, all my fees are paid off by Nestor's. My parents couldn't afford varsity school fees, and I was the first one in my family to get a degree. So I feel like it's very necessary, but to a certain extent, again, it also impedes on the progress of other people. Like, for example, if you're a final year student now, you're supposed to graduate this year, yeah, and this now happens. You know, it affects those badly. I think there needs to be some sort of a balance between those that want to continue and those that do not want to study and want to protest. Or it should just be one day off, you know, where students can just demonstrate and maybe their voices be heard and carry on with business as usual, you know.
Tell me, Pat, do you feel like the public support for these protesting students has dwindled, that it's gone down?
Absolutely, absolutely. Unlike last year, you know, whereby we also had, like, celebrities coming on campus supporting the cause. This year, we haven't seen any of that. And particularly at UJ, it's also a very small group of students that are protesting. You know, we don't see, like, last year we had masses and masses of people supporting the cause and just students from different UJ campuses and theirs convening and becoming a one unit and actually just demonstrating how they're satisfied with the whole fees hike thing. But what you see now is just a small fraction of students. I think it's not only the public support that sort of fizzled out. It's also from the student side. It's not many students that are partaking in the fizzling.
So the numbers and the support is dwindling even in the protests. And obviously when this happens, we've seen this happen before all over the world, as soon as they start to lose support, the only real hope they have of regaining massive support is if someone gets killed or something really terrible happens, because then everybody rallies again to the cause. So you would imagine that there must be certain members of these protest organizations who would want to push this to the limit, who would want to commit acts of arson, who'd want to get involved in potentially criminal things, and maybe even, you know, that someone gets sacrificed in order for this to reach the news at the levels that it was last year.
Yes, and that would be unfortunate, though.
Of course it would.
Pardon?
No, of course it would be horrible. It would be unfortunate in the worst way.
Yes. I mean, also, that there's a cleaner that died. So I guess that might also gain support from the masses, you know, because, I mean, a cleaner, someone... Chances are they don't even have a funeral cover to bury them. So it's a very unfortunate incident. But I think it might also get there, because what you see with UJ, every morning they send us SMSs saying it's business as usual. You know, go to your classes, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, after lunch, then the whole thing starts. And I don't know how the students also get together to just see a group of students now demonstrating. And that ultimately, I mean, police fire, rubber bullets, the tear gases flying around. And yeah, maybe someone will get hurt or someone will die, and now they'll start calling the movement after him or her.
Yeah.
Then maybe, yeah, the public will start supporting again.
Well, that's
that would be very unfortunate.
It's the only hope of being relevant anymore. But it is sad. And I do think that what you're saying is instructive here, that less and less students are joining, and that more and more people on the outside are lacking and losing support from the point of view of what they used to think of Fees Must Fall, what they think of it now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Pat. Nice to talk to you. I hope you get your master's degree finished, man.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right, bro. Bye-bye. There we go. There's Pat Maslangu. He's doing a master's degree at UJ. It sounds like... sounds like it's an ugly situation, even though it's calmed down quite a lot. What's up, Flex?
I found a clip online. Someone tried to shed a bit of light on Fees Must Fall, and it's quite a humorous clip.
All right, let's listen.
Do you have a lot of tests to study for? Do you have a lot of assignments to submit? Do your modules cause you to sleep less and less every night? Introducing Fees Must Fall. During Fees Must Fall, young people are not only fighting for free quality education, but you also get the chance to play games all day, party all night. And most importantly, sleep whenever you feel like it. Fees Must Fall. I can play FIFA all day long.
During Fees Must Fall, I get the opportunity to get wasted without wasting my study time.
During Fees Must Fall.
Yeah, I can't really hear this. Not mixed very well, but there we go. You know what? It's isn't it interesting that there's so many people who are now suddenly starting to lose interest in what's going on in these protests? And like we said earlier, there's so many protests at the moment. People are just bored. I want to play you something. It's quite a long clip, but it really is interesting. I don't think I've played this before. There's a guy called Neil Cavuto on Fox News who got into a discussion with a young lady about the fees in America. She believes that student debt must be completely obliterated, that it's too expensive, which it is, for people to study, and that she has solutions to this. And Neil Cavuto, the host of Fox News at this time, takes her on about it.
That's one way to do it. Make college really expensive and then forgive the debt if you work for Uncle Sam.
All right, let's get to the details of what really they're asking for here. Kelly Mullen, a million student march national event organizer. Kelly, good to have you. Keely, I'm sorry. Is it Keely or Kelly?
Keely is the girl he's talking to. The man speaking now is Neil Cavuto, so just so you know. And she's a young student who is protesting nationwide for free college and debt forgiveness. Okay, pretty much like Fees Must Fall.
Yep. Okay. That's okay. At Keeley.
I apologize. So what do you
totally
want
fine.
Here? What do you want?
Well, so the movement, the Million Student March, is a movement for a more equitable and fair system of education as opposed to the really corporate model that we have right now. So the three core demands of the National Day of Action are free public college, a cancellation of student debt, and a $15 an hour minimum wage for people who work on the campus.
And how's that going to be paid?
Great question. So... I'm not sure if you're talking on like a national level or at particular schools. I can sort of touch on both. At
well,
my
if you
university,
wanted all
Northeastern
that
university,
stuff, someone asked to pick up the tab. Who would that be?
The 1% of people in society that are hoarding the wealth and really sort of causing a catastrophe that students are facing. I mean, we have a relationship right now where 1% of the population owns more wealth than the 99% combined.
All right, so if the 1%, Julie, if the 1% just had their taxes raised a few years ago back to almost 40%, then to pay for the health care law, they had them raised another few percentage points. Then they had their deductions limited to raise another couple points where, depending on the state or locality, they're pushing over about 50% in taxes. How much higher do you think? How much more do you think they should pay?
I think enough until we have a system where not one in two American families are threatened with poverty.
So where do they go? Let's say if you tax them, they're smart folks, these people, these 1% hoarders, right? So if they leave here, then who's going to pay for all this stuff that you want?
If they leave?
The country.
There's always going to be a 1% in the U.S. The U.S. is like the bastion of capitalism and its success. And I think
Do you think the 1% can pay for all of this?
Absolutely. 85 people in the world hold more wealth than half of the global population.
No, wait a minute. Are we talking about 85 billionaires, or are you extending this to the 1% or whomever who earn a little bit north of $250,000? At what level, Keeley, do you start saying you got to pay a hell of a lot more than you're paying now in taxes?
I mean, I think people earning... certainly, people earning over $1 million a year should be contributing to the wellness of society.
If it's 50% now, let's say it's around 50% with taxes. We used to have a top rate of 90%. You think we should get back to that?
I think that eventually we will get back to that. I think
and
eventually.
And you're okay with that? Are some of your friends okay with that? Do some of them want to be successful themselves and they'd be happy when they get to a level? Maybe over 200,000, 250,000, they start paying 90% in taxes on that. They'll be happy with that.
This is such an interesting point. You ask people who have great ideological ideas about how the world should work, that we should all be equal, we should all have equal opportunity and all the rest of it. Many people will agree with those principles. But the minute you say to them, all right, so we'll take 90% of what you work for every year, 90%. There was actually a tax rate of 90% in the U.S. once. We'll take 90 out of every 100 rand that you earn, and we will take that and we'll give it to other people. What's the motivation to succeed?
Yeah, but are we really that surprised, though, that in an unfair world, which is exactly where we live, is an unfair world, that the have-nots get sick and tired of being in that position because they become envious of the haves? I mean, that's not surprising. That's human nature.
Well, there's only two solutions to this. You either take from the haves or you become a have. So taking from the haves, and what he's getting at here, and you'll see now, he breaks it down. He's done the homework on this. If you take everything the haves have and you split it to a million parts where all the have-nots have, in other words, you give everything the haves have to the have-nots. Got it? Am I making any sense? There's still not enough to go around.
This is why we need to be less judgmental of strippers who pay for their education by working the pole.
So right.
You need to be less judgmental of those women.
Right.
Hypocrite.
How dare you? All right, Anonymous, what do you want to say?
How's it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, I wanted to comment on Mabale's news piece yesterday. I'm a second generation funeral parlor owner in the Western Cape. The business started by my dad in 1984. I just wanted to clarify, basically, in terms of, listen, the funeral industry is a really dodgy industry, to be quite frank, because it's a recession-proof business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That basically is guarantees you money. And you will have a few bad seeds, a few bad apples that ruin it for everyone in terms of, in the big cities you'll find in Durban, Cape Town, Joburg, you actually get gangsters.
Yeah.
Shady characters actually owning these funeral parlors behind the scenes. So what they do is they not only profit off the drug trade and all the black market activities, they also then start...
Have you got a cold?
Yeah, no, sorry, I've got a cold. They actually start, what you call it, profiting off the death rate as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, for us in the rural Eastern Cape, we support basically old grannies, social grant beneficiaries that are basically the heads of their households because their children are having children and no one is getting employed. I mean, from age 18 to 34, the unemployment rate in some of these municipalities is about 80%.
Jeez.
So what you'll have is that a granny would get a social grant, but then now she has to basically support that whole household.
Yeah.
And basically, if one of these people pass away, if one of these people pass away, now the granny has to basically sort out funeral arrangements for them.
Let me ask you about this funeral business. So you're a second-generation funeral parlor owner.
That's correct.
So what kind of work do you do? What does your day consist of? Do you wake up in the morning, you first go and check who's dead?
No, it's actually policy administration for the most part. Because if you're a funeral parlor, you have to get funerals, right?
Yeah,
so how do you do that? You have to carve out a market segment for yourself.
Sure.
So basically, you find that the funeral parlors and actual burial societies, we the actual curators of funeral cover, not your old mutuals or your Standard Banks or your Kaiser Chiefs.
So you're looking for customers. In other words, you go around to living people and you say to them, "Here, sign up for this."
Exactly, and what you have is you have grannies coming to our funeral parlor and saying that, "Look, listen. All my children are in these Cape Towns and Joburgs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bury myself. So I don't want to be a burden on them when I pass away."
Wow.
And they'll go in and they'll say, "Okay, I want two cows. I want this coffin. I want that." And then we'll basically package that package for them. And they'll say, "Okay, you can come to us and pay, let's say, 70 rand per month."
Okay.
So you know then what do you make of this call that's being made that there be an ombudsman to help regulate the bad apples who do exploit?
No, definitely, it's really, really needed. I mean, we are a licensed financial services provider because we actually are registered with the FSB and we offer financial products to people. So the FSB regulates our funeral parlor and other funeral parlors that are essentially professionalized to an extent. But there needs to be an there needs to be a regulatory body that actually regulates the actual funeral industry because it's two separate things. You'll have your offering of financial services and your policy administration, and then on the other side, you'll have your funeral services, so like your mortuary services and all of that.
Right.
So that is really...
So you don't... Do you get involved with the dead? I mean, like, you're more interested in the living while they're paying, right?
No, well, yeah, I have to get involved because it's just the community that we serve. I mean, you don't get...
So whereabouts in the Eastern Cape are you?
Are we in the rural Eastern Cape, so it's the Joe Gabi district.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically, it's a formal trans guy as well. I mean, it's very, very, very poor.
Isn't it amazing, dude, how like the matriarchs of these families, a lot of these old grannies, are the ones who make the most important and responsible decisions, huh?
No, definitely. And African culture is very expensive as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, death costs a lot of money.
The cheapest funeral is about 12,000 rand. Now, let me break down that 12,000 rand. You'll get, let's say, we don't do a funeral for less than 5,000 rand, right?
Okay, what do you get for 5,000? Tell me what kind of a funeral I'm going to get for 5,000.
So you're going to get your coffin, you're going to get your funeral service in terms of your lowering device at the gravesite,
your decorations.
Don't they, okay, if I get rid of, let's say I don't want the lowering device.
How are you
going? You just throw me in. How much cheaper is it then? No lowering device.
No, so it's basically, if you just want the coffin by itself, it'll be about 1,500 rand.
Okay.
Who's going to throw you in, Gareth? Your family members.
They can put me in with ropes. They didn't have a lowering device in the 1800s. All right, so anonymous. So I can throw out the lowering device, and they can just use ropes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. A lot of people do that. Cheapest
coffin.
Society.
What's the? Forget society. I'm going to put very, very specific rules in. What? Yeah. What about the coffin? What's the cheapest, nastiest plywood, boxwood, pinewood coffin I can get?
No, you'll get about. I think it's 1,200 rand.
Okay.
That's the cheapest.
Now we're talking. Okay.
That's the all cheapest. Right. But then the society will never allow you.
Watch me. Okay. Then
your village is going to gossip about your family. Say, yeah, okay. Well, your family's not.
But I'm not there. I don't let my family put up with that shit. I don't care. Okay. So what else do I need? A coffin, lowering devices out, hole in the ground. What does that cost to dig?
No, basically they dig that for themselves.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. They dig that for themselves with the chief. Basically organizing that whole process.
They take care of that. What else do I need to pay for?
No, basically we offer, like, let's say if you use us for 7 days, storing your body for 7 days, you get 7 days free. And then beyond that, it's about 25 rand per day. That's, I was really perplexed, and it was 14,000 rand to wash a body. I mean, that's crazy.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
That was in the news yesterday, so, you know, in case someone didn't hear it.
Yeah, no, you'll get these vultures, guys, that really paint a bad picture for us in terms of they do really, really shady deals. They've got no integrity. Their funeral parlors have just gone in for the profit. Mm-hmm. And it paints the whole industry as a very, very shady industry.
But, I mean, part of the reason funerals are so expensive for us is because we've got to feed everyone, right?
Exactly.
Like, we don't send out invitations to funerals.
Right.
People arrive, and you can't say to them,
so what if
go
you,
home.
What if you say, it's a, what if you say guys?
That's really where the costs start to rack up.
So I've got a pine box, no lowering device, and I'm going to tell people they can bring in Brian.
No, that all of you going against Ubuntu and African culture. Because you see, if this granny passes away,
the smallest
funerals, you'll get 100 people coming because the whole village comes to actually mourn at your
house.
Well,
no, they come for the food. So if you stop the food, they won't come.
Yeah, exactly. And basically, it's the family's responsibility to make sure that there's a plate for everyone. And you have to slaughter a cow.
I think that's terrible. I mean, the family already grieving. Now they must pay for all these nochschleppers in the village to pitch up.
It's really horrible. It's really
awful.
Horrible.
I mean, I would say to them, go home. My uncle never liked you anyway. We're not giving you free food just because you pitched up for his funeral. We don't care. He doesn't need your mourning and your sympathy. Go home.
No, definitely. Yeah. It's just our culture is like that. And it's sad because the poorest end up paying for the most expensive funeral.
What's your take on Fees Must Fall?
Fees Must Fall, I'm just really sad that it's been hijacked. You know, it seems to be hijacked by other elements outside of the movement, and it just started off as such a noble cause.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now it's got to a point where I don't think the public is backing this movement anymore. I think we lack so much leadership in South Africa from the top down, from your Jay-Z to even the SRC leaders, you know.
Sound like a really interesting guy. Does your funeral parlor make some money?
Well, it has to, guys. It sent me to the third most expensive private school in the country.
Wow. Nice work. Good for your parents.
Yeah, look, when you started, you said that the funeral industry is a good money-making industry. So, like, guaranteed you'll make money because people are always going to die, right? Like, we're all going to die.
Do you store the bodies on site?
On site? What do you mean on site?
Well, like, do you have a place with a whole bunch of fridges you put the bodies in?
Yes, we have to.
You ever go and check out their genitals?
Listen, we have to treat our bodies with dignity and respect, guys.
You ever find really manky, dirty people with too much pubic hair? And no.
Sometimes I can't take it. Yeah. My sister is better than me sometimes. After like a bad accident, you'll see horrible things.
Dude, wow. Yeah. Well, listen, congratulations to you for running this business. I mean, it sounds like you really know what you're doing. I wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah, it's a very competitive business. We're just proud of that. It's still going after 32 years.
Is it true that some people get an erection after they die and it can last upwards of 3 days?
No, I'm flexed. I've never encountered that. I've been working for them for about 5 years now. I've never encountered that. But you never know. So some dead bodies give you trouble in terms of, like, they fart afterwards.
Fart.
They urinate to themselves.
They fart? A dead body?
Yeah. Especially after, like, a very traumatic death. You find someone hangs themselves that they're unpredictable for about 24 hours afterwards.
You mean the body can move around?
No, it doesn't move around. It's just all the gases and all that stuff that was in the stomach and all that stuff.
Oh. Is a dead person's fart much worse than a living person's fart?
No, it's about the same, man. Surprisingly, it's about the same.
We're all rotten on the inside.
Wow, dude. What an interesting life you have.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. But we've got a passion for serving our clients. I think that a lot of funeral parlors really are painted in a bad light because of a few bad apples.
But, I mean, do you ever need time out for yourself to just center yourself again?
No.
Because especially when you're dealing with horrific deaths where bodies have been mangled and
also
limbs are missing.
You're dealing with sad people who've lost their relatives.
Doesn't that
weigh
heavily on you at times?
Yeah, listen, you get used to it. Working in a funeral parlor, you just have to be the secretary and you encounter so many things. I mean, for example, family members arriving the day the funeral, the person is supposed to go out of the mortuary and with the police and say, no, this side of the family, we're fighting with them, we want to bury this person next weekend. And those type of dramas, they're coming with lawyers and basically other people.
Wow.
You know, family members screaming with each other because, you know, they having family feuds or they want certain rituals to be carried out before, all of those things. It's very interesting, actually. You learn a lot about your people and your culture.
I'm rechristening you. You're going to be called King of All Funerals. You are from now on King of All Funerals. I'm Flax, take down his number. We're going to talk to this guy often. I could talk to you for hours, man. You're very interesting.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
All right, brother. There we go. King of All Funerals, everybody.
I hope he survives that coughing situation and, you know, he doesn't end up like...
He sounded like he got better. But in the beginning of the call, he was coughing a lot. coughing, you know. So here, this is from Ankia, says, yo, I'm glad I'm not related to you, Gareth. Sounds like yours is going to be a very traumatic funeral.
People are going to arrive at your funeral on camp chairs, brah. That's going to be your
Bring
funeral.
Bring in Bri, and they're going to throw me into the hole.
And then kick the dirt on you.
Kick the dirt in. It's going to be really just very simple. And then Walter wants us to talk about lobolas and white weddings tomorrow as a waste of money.
Oh, completely.
Why do people not get married?
Complete waste of money.
All right. I like that. The King of All Funerals is great.
Sure.
You got to talk to him again, Flax. Put him on the regular list. I like that. All right. In a short while, we'll talk to JR. Haven't heard from that guy in a while. I'm looking forward to speaking to him, catching up on everything he's doing. Hey, Kat's here. I want to ask you about the Tropic Island of Pleasure or Treasure or whatever the
treasure.
Hell it is.
Treasure. Although, we know, with Minit Lamin, it could be very
pleasurable.
Could
be the Island of Pleasure. Yeah. All right. So, Kat, you were on the island.
Yes.
All right. You got in as a contestant.
Yes.
All right. Now, who are the celebrities? You had Reva there?
We had Reva, a.k.a. Pearl Tussie.
Uh-huh.
Mario Ogle, who's like a singer from P.E.
Right. Nobody knows him. All right.
Puti Como.
Okay.
Who else?
That's enough.
Jay Anstey.
Okay.
And, yeah, don't remember who else.
Okay. So, these people, and they weren't as famous then as they are now. So the show might have made them more famous.
Yeah.
Did you eat at separate tables? So when they called left, did you go to one table?
Did you eat? Yeah, the celebrities eat separately from you?
So we were in Jamaica.
Did you
and
sit with the crew?
They booked us two villas, which housed seven people each. So we were mixed between plebs and celebs.
So you got to... So who was in your... Who
in my
the
villa.
Yeah.
I had Jay Anstey, Deleuze, a.k.a. in my villa.
Oh,
yeah.
So you were in the same villa as a.k.a.
Yeah. He was nice back then.
Does he remember you?
back then.
When you see him now, does he go, oh, hey, Kat?
Yeah, we all remember each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, you get to be up close to these celebrities.
You were in Jamaica, and how long are you there for? How long do they film?
So you film for 2 weeks, but every day someone goes home. So I was there for about a week and a bit.
Oh, you went home early.
Yeah. No, not early. I went home, I guess, two episodes before the final episode.
All right.
And JR, who was on the couch, was also on Tropic Island of Treasure.
All right.
But I think he won the million. You did, no?
Did you win, JR?
I always win.
All I did
yeah, he won
win.
The million.
Oh, nice, okay.
Yeah.
This year they've got...
Jonathan Boytonleigh.
Yeah, but he's the games guy. So what does that involve?
So, yeah, so him and Minnie Dlamini are the hosts of the show.
Okay.
Because normally they had Fresh and then a lady co-host.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what, Fresh doesn't want to do it anymore?
Yeah, Fresh was like, I'm done with this thing.
Yeah, they've also got MT, they've got Zakiya Patel,
all these.
No, they're not bad. Don't be like
yeah,
that, Kat. Come on. And so Minnie's going to be there. She looks fantastic. Do they wear bikinis the whole time?
They do require you to have a hot body nyana, so you can wear a bikini.
That, is that actually the in the contract that you signed? Have a hot body nyana.
I mean, yeah, no, I but so. You have to be in a bikini every day.
Yeah.
But hell yeah, yeah, you do sign a contract, which is like 35 pages.
Jeez, all right.
You have to form alliances, that's in the contract.
You have to drink shitloads of Tropica the whole time?
You have to drink Tropica. Yeah.
Do they, right. do they ply you with alcohol, though? I mean, that always makes for good ratings.
Off camera, yes. Not on camera. On camera, you have to have Tropica.
Was there any hanky-panky behind the scenes between the plebs and the celebs?
Well, apparently, Reva and Les hooked up, but this was the media speculating, and which is why her and Oscar had a fight, but I don't know.
So, which celebrity do you think will be killed after this
oh,
season?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much, Kat. There is some useful information provided by Katahumolai, who produces the show, which is coming up after this with Kat and Ari. Okay, it is 2 minutes after eight. When we come back in a moment or two, it is time for us to check in with JR. CliffCentral.com.